Amen.
Yeah, if you would turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 20. As you see, when we come to chapter 20, we're kind of coming to a conclusion of things. And I wanted originally just to read a few verses, but if you would bear with me, I have a hard time cherry-picking a few verses out. You probably know that about me. I like to take the whole thing in context, and then I get blessed with the other verses that come. So let's start in the first verse of chapter 20, okay? And it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." This is an unusual angel. And how many of you understand what, I'm sure you do, I'm just asking a rhetorical question. What is the meaning of, what is the difference, I should say, between an angel descending and an angel ascending? Are both of these type of angels found in the book of Revelation? An angel descending from where? From heaven. Okay? And heaven means a spiritual place. So this is clearly a spiritual angel, an angel sent from God. Of course, all angels mentioned here are angels sent from God, except the devil's angels, of course. And he's coming with a key to the bottomless pit and a chain. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen that key of the bottomless pit. There was a star that fell in an earlier chapter, and he was given the key to the bottomless pit. And what did he do with it? He opened it. And what came out of the pit?
Demons
and these locust spirits began to come out. So a star is what? A star is a mighty one. Now, stars are often human, okay? And I believe that a star is one who has been great in the things of God, okay? Probably well-known. Yeah, you have to be well-known to be called a star, don't you? I mean, an unknown little Hollywood actress that only acted in one little minor part in some little movie you never heard of. They're not a star yet, are they? Some little minor league ball player that's only played in Hoboken, New Jersey, or some little unknown place where they're not a star yet, are they? So you have to be well known to be a star. So there's a well known person who was big in the things of God, and what happened? He fell. He fell what? He fell to where? Earth. In other words, he fell from a spiritual place to a carnal place. And I believe, brethren, that there's many, many stars that have been falling and are going to be falling. So, but he had a key, and he went ahead and he used it. And somehow, something that he was doing opened up the abyss and let the demons of hell out. I don't know whether he got playing footsie with the Pope. I don't know what he was doing, but somehow he opened up hell with some of his false doctrines, some of his false teachings. Now here's an angel, an angel descending from heaven. He's coming down, but he's not falling. He's being sent down with a purpose. He's got a key and he's got a chain. And what's he going to do with the key and what's he going to do with the chain? He's going to open up the abyss and he's going to chain the devil. Now, while we're at it, let's just see the contrast between the angel descending and an angel ascending. Go over to chapter 7, verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. Well, we'll have to read verse 1 to see this other quote-unquote angel. He says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, we know that the earth is not a square, okay? The earth is round. Otherwise, you'd fall over the edge or something. Four angels standing on four corners of earth, okay? Now, earth does not necessarily mean the natural ground that we grow grass on, okay? Earth means the carnal realm and probably refers to the human souls. So here's four influences. Now these I'm not sure about these angels, but it says they're standing on the four corners. What are the four aspects of the human soul?
Mind, will, emotions, and desires.
Mind, will, emotions, and desires. Now, do you believe that any of these winds are currently blowing on the earth? The emotions, the will, the desires, the mind. I mean, what do you believe all these riots are all about? It's some winds are already beginning to blow on these human souls, and they are dead certain that the thing they're doing is absolutely right. Some of them probably believe they're doing it of God. So it says here, but these angels are holding the four winds of the earth. In other words, they're holding it back. So they must be doing God's business here. They're holding something back. And that the wind should not blow on what? Earth, which is the carnal realm. And by the way, the carnal realm usually refers to believers who are carnal. There's another word for unbelievers here. So these winds are being held back that would blow on people who are born again believers. Remember, brethren, there are winds waiting to blow even on us. Okay? So it should not blow on the earth or the sea. What's the sea? The unredeemed humanity, the masses of people, or any tree. What is the tree? The strong believers, the sons of God. All right, so these forces are being held back. Now, it says, and I saw another angel ascending. Ascending means going which way? Going up. In other words, here's an angel coming from where we dwell. And he's going up and he's going into a spiritual realm, coming into a higher place, in other words. Ascending from the east. What is the east?
The
east is the mind of God, the mind of Christ. In other words, he's got the mind of Christ. He knows the mind of God. He's doing the business of God. So here's an angel. Now, angel does not necessarily mean a spirit being with fluttery wings and that type of thing. Angel simply means messenger. So this is also a messenger of God, doing God's business, but he's coming into a higher realm off the earthy realm, okay? And he has the seal of the living God. Remember we talked about the seal? What is the purpose of a seal? Give me at least three purposes. What do seals do?
Close, mark.
They mark, okay.
Seals also close
it. Okay, in other words, they seal something up so it can't be opened. They protect something that is there from being tampered with. Your electric meter probably has some kind of a seal on it. Okay? That's not to prevent it from spoiling, it's to prevent you from tampering with it.
I'm sorry.
A seal also marks ownership. Okay, so if you have the seal of God on you, then that's a mark of God that you're under his dominion, under his ownership. The thing of Satan now, the mark of the beast, is not a seal. It's a completely different word. It means something different. Anyway, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now, notice the tree is missing. these angels are going to be given the opportunity to hurt either the earth or the sea. In other words, the Christians who are carnal, the Christians who are weak, the Christians who continue to remain babies all their life, as well as the sea. They're going to all go into tribulation. But the tree is missing here. And he said what? Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the tree. In other words, don't even attempt to do them until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, how is this seal being carried out? How are we being sealed?
The Holy Spirit.
You're being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the activity of the sealing of the Holy Spirit is you are hearing the message of the Word of God. Okay? And you are agreeing with what you're hearing. You're not fighting against it. You're not saying, well, I don't know about that. You know, okay, you have a right to question it, but sooner or later you're going to have to come in agreement with what God is saying. Okay? And you're going to have to come to maturity. So hold back these winds until the servants of God are sealed in where? In their mind. The mind is the head of the soul. So hold back all these winds until your mind has received the Word of God. So what is happening even as this word is being preached today is there is a sealing going on. As you are hearing this word, as you are receiving it and believing it, I believe God, amen. I believe the Word of God. I believe what the Word of God is meant to convey to us, amen. Then you are being sealed. So it's apparently a process that takes a long period of time. I remember Brother Campbell, what was it, 20 years, brought a word that said the sealing process is in progress now. So it's not an instantaneous thing. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. It's a thing that takes a long time. Look back at your lives and see how long has it taken God to put the seal on you to where you're going to obey what He wants. You're not going to thrash and kick and want to do what you want to do. You're going to yield to God. So the angel is being merciful. He's crying to these others that are ready to release these spirits, these horrible spirits. And he's saying, hold back now. I've got a few more of the sons of God that need to be sealed. So you're being sealed. If the sealing isn't quite finished, it's the mercy of God. Let's just go on here, man. Hold it till the end, would you, sister?
It was a question.
Oh, okay.
Would you say that goes along? And I'm sorry, I don't know where the scripture is. Until he that restraineth no longer restraineth.
Well, that's an end time message also. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is holding back something. All right, so there's a lot of things being held back until the hand of God says release it.
Amen.
Let it all loose. So God is holding back. Brethren, right now God is holding back. These riots and this unrest of people. It's not just the unrest of the right or the left. It's unrest all over the place. All he has to do is release it. I tell you, you will believe the chaos that will result.
I will.
Now, back to Revelation chapter 20. This angel now that is coming down with a chain and a key. Amen? And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, this is what we call the 1,000-year millennium. There's 1,000 years after the coming of Jesus Christ, amen, after the return of Jesus Christ, where Satan himself will not be active. He's going to be deactivated. And I'm wondering, how is it that he's going to be deactivated? What does Satan live on, by the way? You know he can't get any life from the throne of God anymore because he can't go there. Where does he get his life? The only life that there is in the earth is in the sons of God, in the people of God. And so as he draws life out of us, as he tempts us, as he gets us into a hissy fit, he gets us mad, gets us to fall into sin, gets us to this and that. He's getting life out of it. Can you imagine the tasty morsel he would get if he could catch a great big famous preacher and devour him and gobble him up and spit him out and accuse him and find that he's been committing this and that and the other sins? And it gets all over the television, it gets all over world news. That's a juicy morsel for the devil. The devil gets life out of it. So I believe there's coming a time when the devil's going to be starved. 1,000 years. And of course God's going to have him locked up too. But I think the saints are going to have to starve him out too. And not give him anything. So after 1,000 years, God says, look, I prove now that the world can run in peace and safety and prosperity. And we didn't have to have the devil to do it. And the whole government system is going to be changed. Here I am, acting like I'm stumbling. I don't know how to say it. How will we rule? We will rule in righteousness. Yes. Oh, don't we have to elect a mayor every 5 years? No. We rule in righteousness. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be different than anything we've ever seen up until this point. Not one big carnal king sitting at the top, some big man. No. Oh my goodness. I remember hearing these saints talk about what they thought the millennium was going to be. And one of them said, well, I think Pat Robertson's going to be the president. You know, he's going to sit there for... Oh, come on, guys. Get off this carnal thinking. You're thinking of a great man that you think of, and he ought to be senator, and this one ought to be senator. Come on, I don't know that the whole system that we've got, I don't think it's going to fly. But I don't know what's going to fly. I just know that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. Now, here's some more details. It says, it cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him. See, there's a seal. He's sealed now too. That he should deceive the nations. See, how did Satan get his thing done? By deception. By lies. Where isn't it the verse? Is it in Ezekiel where it says, "And the kings and the nations shall look on him askant and say, is he the one that caused all the trouble in the world?" In other words, they're going to look at him as if he's just a little worm. Oh, we thought he was a great big snake. We thought he was a great big terrible thing. Look at him, he's just a little bitty thing, and he caused all this trouble. How did he do it? He did it by his lies and deception. That's how he got Eve. He fed her a lie. He could see, oh, I think she'd like to do this. She finds it attractive. I'm going to make it all attractive for her. I'm going to give her a lie. How does Satan get people to sin? How does he get people hooked on drugs and other things? How does he do it? He makes it look attractive.
Beguile means deceive by charm.
Yes, so he's going to be sealed that he cannot deceive for 1,000 years. And you're going to know the difference. I tell you, this is one of the reasons I think God has to let things get so bad so that there will be such a contrast between how terrible the world is. You know, if God gave us all the wonderful president we like and all the policies we like and everything, we would say, what do we need the kingdom of God for? No, he has to let things get really, really bad. So, he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Well, we're not getting very fast here, are we? He says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Now, who do you think these thrones represent? I saw thrones. In other words, he saw seats. Thrones represent what? A place of authority, don't they? A place of judgment. And he says, judgment was given to them. Oh my. You know, I didn't think of this before. Do you remember the passage in Daniel?
Which passage?
about the thrones of judgment. Oh my goodness, I love that passage in Daniel. Let me go back and pick it up here. I think it is, Rita. Did you say 7:9? No. Yeah, and I, yeah, okay, that's part of it. He says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient days did sit. Okay, there's the enemy's thrones being cast down. No, I'm looking at verse 21 in chapter 7 and 22. He says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. Who's the Ancient of Days?
Father.
Amen. Father God. Amen. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Who? Judgment was given to who?
Us.
The saints of the Most High. Now, and there's another place, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
No. 18 is also the same.
18. All right, let's go back and read 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Now, when it says here, and the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given, what that word judgment means is the court was in session.
Amen, amen.
And the judge was sitting at the bench, and the jury was impaneled. And the judge was sitting, and the jury, guilty or innocent. And the jury is the saints of the Most High God. And they're saying, put the thumb down. They're guilty.
That's wrong.
Well, down or up. I know what it means. Okay. Okay. Back to Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw the... we read that. Judgment was given. In other words, the court was set. Judgment was... ready to be executed. Amen. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, this is tribulation saints, brethren, because the beast was in play during those days. You're going to see more use of that type of thing. The Muslims are doing it, but Brother Sess used to say that the old French guillotines are going to be brought out again.
They're in America, you know.
Somebody had brought some over to America.
There's a million of them.
I don't know how many, but why are they keeping them?
Because it couldn't chop off the heads of the saints. That's what Paul says about that we're seeing.
What'd you say, John?
For the bullets, you use them over and over.
Sure.
No cleaning the guns. Nobody's got to stand there. One guy with a rope.
Yep. Anyway, let's move on. So these saints, we know that particularly these saints are going to rule and reign with Christ. Daniel says the saints of the Most High. Revelation in this verse says the martyred saints are going to rule and reign. Okay. Now, by the way, ruling and reigning with Christ is not for everyone who says, Lord, Lord. It's not for everyone just that says, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Because they're not all saints of the Most High. They're not all sons of God. Let me go on. But the rest of the dead, okay, now follow along here. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. You mean there's going to be another resurrection? How many resurrections are there? I found at least 4. Did you know that 2 of them have already happened? Who was the first fruits?
Adam.
the firstborn to rise from the dead.
Jesus
Christ. Amen. What happened in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? There were people resurrected that were seen in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So apparently there was another resurrection that took place. Apparently the power of God sending that power to raise up Jesus from the dead, the power was just so great that it just it got some others caught in it and raised them up from the dead. And they were seen walking around in Jerusalem. Amen? Now,
that fulfilled those fruits.
Yes, part of the first fruits. But Jesus himself is a resurrection unto himself. Now, let me go to an interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 23. And you can say, Brother Mark, what are you coming at here? 1 Corinthians 15, 23. There's a very interesting verse. And I'll read the verse before it. Well, I'll read several verses before it. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Okay? But for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That man, the second man, is of course Jesus Christ. By Adam came death, by Jesus came resurrection from the dead. Now you know you can't have resurrection until you have death. Okay? If you want resurrection, you have to have death. Some people want resurrection power. Wouldn't you like to have resurrection power? Would you like to be conformable unto his death? Conformable to his sufferings? What is that verse? That's in Colossians, isn't it? That I might know him.
The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering.
Being made conformable unto his death, isn't it? I think.
We're all called to
Yeah, let me go on. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now here, listen to this verse now. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. There's an order of resurrection. Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Does that mean all rule and all authority and all power, or just all bad rule and bad authority and bad power? He's just going to put down communists and Nazis and totalitarianists. He's not going to put down good democracy rule. No. Oh, no. Well, it says all. But Lord, we like it the way it is. No. Babylon has to fall. All right, back to Revelation. And so the rest of the dead live not until 1,000 years. Okay. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now, even though there's been a resurrection of Jesus and the saints in Jerusalem, the next one is going to be called the first resurrection. Okay, even blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Let me just stop there a minute. What is the first death?
When we get baptized?
No, it's when we die. We're talking about natural death.
Okay.
When we get whatever, sick, old, diseased, whatever, we die. We stop breathing, that's the first death. Now, if you're going to have part of the first resurrection, the second death is not going to do you any harm. How many of you want to be part of the first resurrection? We don't want anything to do with the second death. It's going to describe the second death here then too. Let's go on.
And they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right, so now this is including others than just the martyrs. So they shall be priests of God. Now, we're not talking about going back into the old Levitical order of priesthood. That's been done away with. We're not talking about resurrecting the Catholic or the Episcopal Church and making us priests where we rule over people and tell them they'll go to hell unless we absolve them of their sins or whatever. No, not that kind of priesthood. The word priest means a representative between God and man. Now, it was God's plan, and God revealed that to Moses a long time ago. It was God's plan that all of Israel were to be priests of God. In other words, all of God's people. So when God began to talk to them from the mount, and it was thunder and lightning and darkness, and oh, they said, no, please. We're afraid of you, God. Listen, Moses, you go ahead, you and Aaron, you take care of things. Just tell us whatever you said, we'll take that. We don't want to hear from him. So God had to change the plan and say, okay, so now you want a man to be your priest. But what he's saying here is all these who are part of the first resurrection will be priests unto God. So who will we represent God to if everybody is in the same class? Obviously, there's going to be people on this earth that are going to need to know about God. There's going to be unredeemed people on the earth, but they're not going to be able to get away with their sins and have rulers that push us this way or that way. No, they're not going to be able to do that anymore. So, it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. But not for long. Amen? And he shall go out to do what? What's the word?
Deceive.
His stock in trade. He is a liar from the beginning. That's who he is.
How do you know it's not for long?
It says for somewhere here it's going to say for a little while.
A small, loose, a little season.
A little season.
Those three.
Yeah.
So, what's that mean?
It doesn't have a time.
The spring season or the fall season?
Wouldn't I? In other words, God's going to give him time to do whatever he thinks he has to do. He's going to give him an opportunity to take another shot at it. It might take a couple years.
You're optimistic, saying it's not going to be long. So
yeah, let's say it's just a little season. Okay.
Yeah, it really shouldn't take long.
No. Well, when God said to me one time, "Son, will you bear with me for a little while yet?" And I thought, 6 months. Yeah, I think it was at least 6 years. God's definition of a little season is not the same as mine, because I'm impatient. I want this show to get on the road. You know, I want to know what I'm going to do. Where am I going to go? Come on, lay it all out. But he says to me, you have to wait. You have to be patient. You have to have faith. I told you I'll take care of you. Just settle down and learn to know me. Amen. He should go out to deceive the nations. Notice there are still nations. In other words, there's still apparently some kind of divisions among the people of the earth, different locations. I don't know what it's all about. Deceive the nations, amen, which are in the four quarters of the earth. They're scattered about. Gog and Magog. What do you find? Now, Gog and Magog have an interesting definition. I looked that up one time in the natural to find out who this actual Gog and Magog were. It is definitely north, straight north of Israel.
And we go back to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Very interesting chapters. Talk about Gog and Magog. God putting a hook in the jaw of Gog or Magog or one of them and drawing them out. In other words, God is forcing them to take up arms against the people of God. Put a hook in their jaw. You know what happens to a fish when you get a hook in his jaw? If you've got a strong line, he's got to go where it's pulled. He doesn't want to. But why doesn't he want to? Because he's going to his destruction again. God is going to ruin him one more time. Just like he ruined old Pharaoh one more time. Amen? Gog and Magog. Actually, it speaks of Russia in the natural. And the Syrians, what's the ancient name for Iran?
Persians,
yeah. These people up in that region, and the small little stands and what have you that are around that area, Afghanistan and Turkestan and Uzbekistan and all those stands, that region in the natural. Now, there's got to be a spiritual meaning here too. But I haven't caught the whole... It's that spirit, I think. That spirit, a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of Antichrist. So Satan is going to stir up that spirit again. Okay? A spirit of hating the people of God. And he's going to unite them together, he says, and gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He doesn't even give a number. There's going to be a big population here again. Okay? After 1,000 years... A big population boom. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to chafe at the rule of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people. They want to get away. They want to come out of their wicked closets and express their wickedness again. They want laws again to protect their vile activity. But they can't get it done. And Satan is going to appeal to a lot of people that are just chafing with rebellion and have never had a chance to express it. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, you see, God is going to put an end to this whole thing again, once and for all. Now, we're talking natural language here. This is not a natural camp that they're going to come up against. They're going to simply come up against the believers. Somehow they're going to establish some sort of power. We're talking 1,000 years from now, okay, at least. Now, and the devil that deceived, there's that word deceived again. The devil that deceived them was cast where? Now this time he isn't cast into the abyss and locked up and sealed and chained for 1,000 years. This time he's cast where? Into the lake of fire. And brimstone. Yeah, I like that, brimstone. Literally, brimstone is burning sulfur. Yeah. It has a horrible smell, but boy, it is hot. Now, remember, we are not talking just natural fire. There might be natural fire here too, but we're talking a spiritual fire. Remember the verse in Isaiah, about when it talks about the fall of Satan, and the Lord said, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you, and that fire is going to devour you. It's that same kind of fire of revenge and vengeance and hatred and malice. And he just can't get enough of it. It can never be satisfied. You want to get revenge. He wants to get revenge on somebody. He goes out and murders somebody. But it doesn't satisfy. We've got to kill more people. More people. More people. It's a burning fire. And it's like a lust. A burning lust that is never satisfied, no matter what you do to try to quench it. Any quenching is only a temporary thing that lasts only for a little while. I've got to have more. And this is what addictions do to people. It's never quenched. I got to have more. It's a burning fire. And these are the fires that are going to burn in people when they too join Satan in that eternal fire. They are going to be consumed by their hatreds, their everything else. They're just going to burn in them and burn in them. And their worm is never going to die. It's going to be eating away at them. The worm dieth not, Jesus said, and the fire is never quenched. So we're talking about end time things here, way beyond. Amen. Where fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What does forever and ever mean?
Forever and ever.
Eternity. Now, you know there's a false doctrine. A lot of false doctrines, but there's a false doctrine that says this doesn't really mean forever and ever. You know that, Linda. It's people down your way. In fact, they came out here to Sloansville and tried to destroy that little church in Sloansville where Bernie used to go. What they say is, well, God is so merciful. He won't make you stay there. He'll burn you and fry the sin out of you. You know, just like frying bacon. Once it gets all the fat fried out of the bacon, all the sin fried out of you, then he'll pull you out. He'll give you another chance. But the Greek word here, forever, is, it starts off A-E-O-N, Aeonas or something like that. A-E-O-N, and from the word A-E-O-N, what do we get? We get our English word called eon. And what do the people that preach the evolution, how have they got their millions of years divided up? Eons and eras and the Cypozoic eon and the Paragolic zoos, you know, I mean, they got these, well, I know some of their names, I'm just not going to say them. So the eon, oh well, an eon only lasts, 20,000 years, maybe 100,000. See, okay, so I can sin and I can go to hell, but I'll only be there, I won't be there forever and ever. I'll get out after a while. And this is what the Catholic Church does. They basically, their purgatory is hell. Okay, when you die, they say you're going to go to purgatory. Even the good people, because they haven't done enough deeds, they haven't given enough money to the church. And so the priest comes and he says, well, okay, give me a couple hundred and I'll do a pretty good mass for you. Well, will this get Aunt Bertha out of purgatory? She's tormented. She's burning there. Well, I don't know. Let's give it a try. Guy comes back next week. Well, I don't know. I think we'd better do another one. Burn some more candles and whatever. Make sure Mom is not in purgatory anymore.
It's a little place between heaven and hell.
Yeah, but there seems to be no doctrine of whatever comes after purgatory. I've never read of any of them that believe that any. Well, maybe Hitler went to hell. Maybe he can't be brought up. But you know, the funny thing, the Pope was supporting him in everything he was doing.
Yeah.
He must have got absolution somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
So you see, these are doctrines, and I'm going to tell you, brethren, the Christian Church has got doctrines that are very similar to this, mm-hmm. that tell you you're never going to have to endure any kind of persecution, never a thing. Don't worry, just give your money to the church, and the Reverend Doctor will take care of you. You know? Oh, come on. All right, so let's go on. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I cannot imagine this great white throne. Heaven and earth fled. It was so awesome. You cannot imagine what it would be like to stand before the terrible, awesome presence of God. I tell you, you would be on your face so fast, you wouldn't know how you got there. You wouldn't be able to crawl. You would be struck. You would want to flee if you had the power to do so. Brethren, when we come into a place and we worship, this is the God we are worshiping. We need to rid ourselves of all carnality, including in our praise and worship. Let flesh flee from it. Jesus said that worship me in spirit and in truth. He didn't say the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in flesh and emotion. Spirit and truth. Come on, I may not get another chance, so I'm going to lay it on today. And I saw the dead stand, small and great, stand before God. And the books, oh my, do I have time to talk about the books? Oh yes, we got a little time. The book and the books. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Amen? And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. So we've got another resurrection here. But it's not a good resurrection. Maybe you could call this the fifth resurrection of the unjust dead, the unrighteous dead. These are the dead now that are standing before the throne of God. Okay? And there are books. Well, it's there's some righteous too. It says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Hell is what? Hell is Hades. Hades gave up the dead, and they are judged, and then they're going into Gehenna, which is the lake of fire. By the way, did any of you ever read Dante?
Okay.
The Inferno? Yeah. Do you remember anything of it?
Different layers.
Yeah, different layers.
Cold spots, they had cold parts and hot spots.
Yeah. Do you know who Dante put in the lowest part of hell? The clergy of the church. And I'm wondering, how did the guy ever get away with it? Why didn't they? They should have gone after him and killed him for that. Maybe they never read it. No, that's what he did. So he's suddenly, I don't mean to preach Dante here, but the book and the books, amen, and death and Hades, which is a hell, a type of hell, for those who have died in sin, but they have not yet been judged, gave up their dead. So they're crying for a resurrection, they get a resurrection, but it doesn't last very long. Because they're only going to stand before that terrible throne of God, and everybody's going to flee from that throne that doesn't love the Lord. Amen? And delivered up the dead, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, maybe I can finish with this. The book and the books. If your name is in the book, anything that you've done that would have been in the books doesn't count. What happened to it? What happened to all your sins that were written in those books?
They got blotted out.
They got blotted out. Now, if you didn't have your name...
Blotted out in red, by the way.
In red.
Yeah.
In crimson blood. Amen. So, if your name is in the book, amen, how do you get your name in the book?
Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Now, every man that is born, apparently is born with his name in the book. Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Mark, can you prove that? Well, let me go back to Moses. Did you have another one? Or were you going to go to Moses?
Well, David too.
David, yeah. But I'll go to Moses because he came before David. And I'm going to go to, before I go that far, let me go to chapter 3, verse 5 of Revelation. Let's just see about this book here. 3:5 of Revelation. He that overcometh, this is the church of Sardis, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So he's saying to this church of Sardis, if you're going to be an overcomer, you'll wear white, which is purity, and you won't get your name blotted out of the book. Okay, there's another reference to that book in 13:8. And this is where we are introduced to the beast. And all them that dwell, not all them, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Earth is a carnal realm again, isn't it? All earth dwellers shall worship. Who are we talking about here? This is a beast. Shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that world is cosmos there. It doesn't mean, it means what cosmos means. So, there's another reference to the book. Now, let me go back to Exodus 32, verse 32. Now, the people of God had sinned. And there were 3,000 men that fell that day. Verse 26 says, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And of course, the sons of Levi gathered with him. And down here in verse 28, there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. That was a pretty bad day. That means they died. Now, the Lord is asking, or Moses is asking the Lord to forgive the people. The Lord is very angry. Okay? And Moses, verse 31, Moses returned, let's go to verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. In other words, Moses is acting in a representative position as a priest, in other words, okay, a go-between. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. How did Moses know about that book? Moses offered to lay his own eternity down if God would take him as a sacrifice and forgive the people, but send me to hell.
It was a type of crime.
Yeah, he was acting, and God basically was telling him, look, you don't qualify. I can't do it. Furthermore, I can only do it to the people that sin. Those are the, I can't blot you out, Moses, if you're going to be a righteous man. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Moses ever disobey God?
Yes.
No. Do you think Moses is in the kingdom now?
Yes.
Yeah. How did he get there?
Translated.
No, I mean, God had to forgive him, didn't he?
Jesus.
God had to forgive him. He trusted in the blood, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Seth used to say he believed, since God told him he was going to die, told him to go up on the mountain, take Joshua with you up there, and that he probably took a little sacrifice up there, and God showed him across Jordan and everything. He said, okay, your time. Wait. Let me sacrifice here. And the lamb was a substitute for Christ. And so Moses might have got in the way Elijah did, and Enoch. He might have got in that way.
Made it into the promised land.
And he did, yeah. Nevertheless, because he sinned, God said, I can't let you go in the natural man. If I let you do that, this thing's going to be written down in history, and people are going to think that I let people get away with anything. I cannot let it be written in the history books of my name that I really agreed with that. So no, I'm going to have to keep you out. You're going to have to die now, the first death, but you won't have to suffer the second death. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Him will I blot out. It gave me the impression that as a newborn, innocent babe, our name is in the book. But every human being sins. So he starts keeping books. And for some, the list and the books get quite full. It would seem like every sinner has his own book. He said books.
Mark is also in Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name.
Amen. Yeah.
What is that, Malachi?
Malachi 16.
Well, I think we've used up our hour. I had some things in Matthew, but we'll have another time. Isn't this interesting? This is the final word, I suppose, on end time. This is the final fire. This fire of the lake of fire, this is not, see, we identified three purposes of fire. One, fire to purify. What was number two? Fire to destroy. There's nothing being destroyed here. Okay. Or three, the fire of torment. And this would be the last. This is torment. And if I were to read in Matthew 25, where Jesus said, one of the verses, he said, forever and ever, even for eternity. And I looked up, and I thought, forever and eternity are really the same Greek word. They are the aeon word. Means the same thing. But it is translated both forever and ever and eternal. So, brethren, we need to make our calling and election sure.
Amen.
It's time. We don't have any more time to go off on a bender of any kind. I don't have time. You don't have time. Yes, God can bring you back. God can save you. Will He have time? How long did it take Him to get you where you are? Do you remember the last time you wallowed off into a sin? How long did it take to get out of that? These places are hard to get out of and get free from these devils and these demons. Let us remain pure to God and to our calling as sons of God. Amen.
Amen.